All right. For those that may be somewhat new to this, let me just give a very, very brief background as to what's going on here, how this came to be, and how to participate. How many people here are not familiar with Bashar? Okay, enough. Long enough. Long enough. Okay. Well, thank you for coming, on faith. hopefully you'll enjoy this. Basically, this is a channeling, is what is called a channeling. Now, as far as I'm concerned, a channeling is really a state of being. It's something that all of us can do, and it's something that all of us do from time to time, but in different ways. Channeling is really just being in a state where you're letting all the energy come through, your creativity. You're not sort of getting in your own way. You're just being one with the moment, one with the act. When a singer is lost in the song, when an actor becomes the part, that is a channeling state. Now, from that state, you can do a number of different things. Access different levels of your own consciousness, draw upon information from within the universe, and I guess obviously be in contact with other beings and other consciousnesses in other dimensions of reality. That seems to be what's happening here. The way that this began for me was about 25 years ago. I had two very, very close broad daylight UFO sightings over Los Angeles, where I live. The first time only about 150 feet away, the second time only about 70 feet away. Both times an equilateral triangular ship, dark metallic in color, about maybe 20, 30 feet on a side. After having seen something like that, with friends with me both times as witnesses, thank God, I started being very interested in what it was I had seen and wanting to know a lot more about what was going on. So I began doing a lot of research. Back then, especially when you go to a bookstore and you look up UFOs, there weren't very many metaphysical books, so they'd lump psychic phenomenon and channeling and everything kind of all on one bookshelf. So looking up UFOs, I ran across a lot of other metaphysical subjects, spiritual subjects. I began to get interested in channeling as well, and I began to do a lot of research in that area. 10 years after the sightings, I was introduced to a channel in Los Angeles who was practicing at the time. The entity coming through that channel offered eventually to teach channeling for whoever might be interested. And after listening to him for about 6 months, I thought, well, it's not that I want to become a channel, but I'd like to further my research, so I'll go into the class, I'll see what this is all about. I was curious to understand how something like that could be taught. The class was basically a series of guided meditations to make you more open, more sensitive to receiving information or listening to different parts of your consciousness, to access more of your creativity, and basically for whatever you wanted to use it for. During the class, about halfway through the course, which was 12 weeks, so about 6 weeks in, while in a meditative state under the guidance of the entity along with the other class members, I received what felt like a telepathic communication suddenly in my head. Pictures, voice, the whole nine yards, and instantly a memory came back of having made an agreement with Bashar and his people to do this with him in this life. Also, what I understood at that moment is that the UFOs that had been shown to me were shown to me on purpose to get me to start moving in that direction so that by the time it came time to fulfill the agreement, I would be prepared. And the message in my head basically was, now that you know we made this agreement and now you know it's time to begin, is this something you would still like to do? It was offered as a choice, not forced on me. I had to really seriously think about what was going on because I didn't know if I was hallucinating as a side effect from the meditations or just imagining this or what was happening. But very quickly, I got a lot of unsolicited outside validation from other people that something was going on. And so really, I figured, well, it'd be an interesting experience. Let's see where it goes. But the thing that I focused on, most importantly, the thing that I would like to have you focus on, most importantly, is that what I realized is that it didn't really matter whether Bashar was really an extraterrestrial being in telepathic contact with me or whether this was just another portion of my own consciousness. What really mattered was, does the information help? Can it help make changes in our lives in positive ways? The answer to that was yes, and so for that reason I decided to go ahead and see where the channeling would take me. Here I am 15 years later, now I've done this all over the world. So it just kind of took on a life of its own. Again, the thing I would like to stress, especially to new people, is that there is nothing about this that says you have to believe that Bashar is a separate being from myself. I have no way of proving that to anybody. He has said that in the near future, when things change on this planet, it might be very possible that we will get to see their people face to face. When that time comes, obviously we'll have as much concrete proof as we need. For now, they would rather that we focus on the information as well, and the measure of the idea of this experience is to see if the information will help you make the changes in your life that you want to make. Over and over again in the last 15 years, I have people coming back to me telling me that when they do apply the principles that Bashar talks about, they do get drastic changes, and therefore I continue to be supported and reinforced that this does work. So for that reason, again, is why I have done the channelings. The way that this will unfold, again, is that I will go into the altered state. It will take me just a moment to allow the connection to happen. And what's happening here, so that I can sort of clear up another definition, is a lot of people in metaphysics don't really have a real strong definition of exactly what's going on in a channeling state when they seem to be in contact with another entity. The best way that I can explain this is like if you have two tuning forks, and if they're keyed to each other and you start one vibrating, the other one will pick up those waves and will start vibrating in sympathetic harmony. Bashar is not here, he's not possessing my body, he's not speaking English. He is sending thought pulses from where he is, and I've been trained to let my brain waves change frequency to become closer in frequency to his reality, the frequency of his dimension. He lowers his, I raise mine, somewhere in the middle we lock. And when we synchronize, what you get here is a model of his thoughts made out of my energy. So it's like my energy is mirroring basically what he's thinking, and it translates into whatever language the channel happens to understand, which in this case is English. He has come through in the past other people in other countries, and I have actually seen the same personality come through other people in the country's language. So it's an interesting phenomenon. But what will happen is that when I go into the altered state, he will come through. He will address you, and he will talk probably for a few minutes on what he thinks is a topic or a subject that will help sort of give you a basis or a foundation for the way they think, and will sort of set the stage for making this group cohesive. And then he's just basically going to turn it over to you, and he'll probably do that by saying, "How may I serve you?" When he says that, that's your cue to go ahead and start asking questions. And again, very, very important, I stress this for new people, it doesn't matter what you ask. Any topic, any subject, personal, private, cosmic, doesn't matter, okay? There is no such thing as a stupid question. There is no such thing as a silly question. It's not important enough. If it's important to you and you're comfortable talking in front of a group about it, then ask it and don't hold back for any other reason. Don't think you're wasting his time or anyone else's time. You never know what's going to come out of these interactions, and from some of what has seemed to be the most simple questions have come really interesting, complex answers that have really helped a lot of people in the group, even though they didn't ask the question themselves. So please don't hold back for that reason. One thing I would like to let you also know now, before we get started, just so you know at the end of the session, this will go straight through, probably a couple of hours, maybe 2.5 hours at the most. Certainly if you have to come and go to the bathroom, there's no problem with that. We will have tapes of this session immediately available for you if you want them after the session, and I believe they said it would be $15 if you want those tapes. So you can get them right away. You don't have to wait for them if you want them. Plus, of course, we have tapes from a lot of the other sessions that he's done, and the catalogs are back there. I don't think there's really anything else I need to explain to you, except please have fun. The bottom line is really the more fun you have with him, the more fun he'll have with you. Those that are not familiar with him, I would just sort of like to say by way of a small warning, Bashar and his people are very, very, very direct. Please don't be taken aback by that. They're not trying to be stern, they're not angry or anything like that. They're just very direct. That's just their style because they have a lot of conviction about what they believe in. Nothing that they say to you should in any way, shape, or form convince you to believe the same way just because they said it. Okay? The degree of conviction they have is because they know what works for them and they know what certain ideas and possibilities might work for us, but they always leave it up to us to decide for ourselves whether we want to absorb that information. If you don't find what you need here, they know you'll find it somewhere else. But just don't be taken aback by how directly they come across. That's just their style. Thank you again for coming. Please have a good time. I'll see you all later. One last thing, because I know we're when you do ask a question, without touching the mic, try to get as close to the mic as possible so that we can make sure everyone in the room can hear you and so that we get you on the tape clearly. Okay?
Say good day to you, the Schneider time. How are you all? Oh, fine. First of all, let us take this opportunity to thank each and every one of you for allowing this communication to occur in this manner at this time. Each and every time you allow our civilization to make this transmissional link, this bridge, in this format, through this window, it affords our civilization an opportunity to experience, through each and every one of you, another facet, another aspect of the infinite, and this expands our understanding of all the different ways that the infinite can express itself, and so we thank you for this gift of sharing. We would like to begin this transmission with the following idea. We have now, for a little while of your time, been talking about what we consider to be a very important topic, a very critical topic, in understanding how to allow your lives to be transformed in the manner that you would desire. Notice that we utilize your word allow rather than use the word make. Allowing is the key. And this is why. What we will now talk about will be the issue that many of you have begun to understand that is called the issue of surrender. And when we utilize that term, we do not mean surrender in the negative sense, in that you are creating a sacrifice within yourself, or in a sense giving up something which you truly need. We are talking about the concept of surrender as the true acceptance of your total being, of your total self, and the letting go of those aspects of your personality that only limit you, that in a sense are imposed upon you from childhood that may not really be representative of who you are at heart, who you are in the core of your being. That is the type of surrender we are talking about. The allowance is to allow yourself to believe, to know with certainty that if you will be willing to let go of old ideas, old patterns, old beliefs, old definitions, and accept the being you were created to be in the image of the infinite, then you will be able to see, by surrendering those aspects of your personality that don't serve you, you will be able to see your life begin to reflect back to you those aspects of your being that are truly you. For physical reality, as you call it, is really nothing but a mirror. And I mean this quite literally. Quite literally. You have on your planet a device called a glass mirror. And when you look into a mirror, you will see the reflection of your face. Now, if your reflection is wearing a frown, you do not reach out and force the reflection to smile, but you yourself choose to smile instead. Physical reality is exactly like this. If you see things in your life and they are not necessarily reflective of what you prefer, of what you know to be representative of your true self in your heart of hearts, your natural core true being, the idea is not to attempt to manipulate the outside reality reflection in order to bring things back into alignment, but that you must change yourself within yourself first, so that your physical reality, being the mirror that it is, can reflect that change back to you. So just as you know you cannot manipulate the reflection in a glass mirror in order to see the face smile, but instead must smile first, so too you can be absolutely assured that you know that if you do smile, you will see the smile reflected by the mirror, for the mirror has no choice but to follow suit. And therefore you can be assured that if you change inside, if you change yourself, your physical reality has no choice but to reflect that back to you. It must follow suit, for it does not have a mind of its own. But we know that when you are brought up with ideas that can make you doubt yourself, then you can play all sorts of complicated games in your mind about whether or not your reality is going to reflect the truth. You can not be certain that it will reflect back to you who you are. You can pretend that it has the ability to do something contrary to what it is that you give off. But it can't. It really cannot. This is simple physics. We want you to understand that many of the things that we will be discussing this day of your time, the many principles that we will be sharing and discussing that have to do with your ability to change your lives in the way you prefer, will not just be left to the realm of philosophy. Oh, that sounds like a nice idea, but how does it work? Oh, that's all well and good to say that thing, all lovey-dovey, as you say, but what practical use is it? We will not leave it in that realm, but will allow you to understand that the tools, the concepts that we are sharing with you, are truly concepts of physics, action, reaction. You will be able to see, by applying these principles, effects in your lives, physically, because we're not just talking about philosophical concepts. We are talking about physics. We are talking about the way reality is created. We are talking about the way life actually works in your physical dimension. So we know that this comprises a type of tool kit, and if you will keep the tools sharp and will apply them steadfastly, then you will see that they will do their job. And all you have to do is do the job of being yourself in order to use them properly. Now, what does this entail? Well, first and foremost, a very important principle. Doing the job of being yourself, first and foremost, means this, that you must treat yourself with love and respect, that you must value yourself. We can tell from interaction and observation
that many of you have been taught to devalue yourselves, to think yourselves unworthy, undeserving, to think of yourselves as less than you were created to be. And as long as you choose to continue to devalue yourselves and doubt your own self-empowerment, then these tools will not be as effective as they could be. For if you are not functioning holistically, you cannot expect the tools to do their job fully. So the first principle is to understand that unconditional love must be given from yourself to yourself first. For if you do not love yourself, you will not be able to love anyone else. And we understand that you have what you call on your planet a golden rule that you usually quote as, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. However, a more precise understanding of this golden rule would really be, psychologically speaking, you will do to others what you are willing to do to yourself. So when you devalue yourself, when you do not think you are worthy, certainly you will not attach any value to anything or anyone, and therefore you will treat your world, other people, and yourselves with great disrespect. And that will amount and result in many of the difficulties and problems you see on your planet today. It is as simple as that. You do not love yourselves, so you do not love others, and so, therefore, you do not love your world, and therefore you see all the difficulties. But when you understand that it begins with you, and we do not mean this in a negatively selfish way, but when it begins with self-love, then you will know you are all right, you will know you are self-empowered, you will know you are connected to the infinite, you will know that a source of infinite power can always be expressed through you, you will know that life does not happen to you, but happens through you, you will be a conscious, creative being in the way you were created to be, a co-creator with creation, and you will then be full of compassion, creativity, life, love, self-expression, and you will know how to be a shining example with others, to others, for others, with others, and for yourself, so that your lives can be a reflection of what you say you prefer it to be. Now, it's time to go on your planet beyond what you call lip service. It's time to put into action these principles. And so this is why it is important to understand that we are not just talking about nice ideas that you can just keep talking about and thinking about and run around in your heads and say, oh yes, that sounds nice. We are talking about principles you can put into action, that you can apply and get a result from, so that you can see and experience that result, and in experiencing that result, you can then know that these tools work. You can then know that you are a self-actualized being made in the image of the infinite. You can have that experience, and in knowing that, you will then radiate that frequency, and in radiating that frequency, then the reflection from physical reality mirror will be an equal reflection back to you. It is as simple as that. And so, we once again thank you for allowing us to share this point of view with you this day of your time. And once again, in return for the great gift that you are giving our world in allowing us to link with you, we ask in return now, in what way may we and I be of service to you? You may begin with sharing in any manner you so desire. And to you, good day. Speak up and be bold so that all may hear what you have to share.
I have two questions.
Yes.
One to do with the white people from the computer problem.
Yes.
In context that you're discussing in the talk, I wonder if it fits in with our general society worldwide. If it's going to be a severe occurrence.
In some areas, it will be severe. In others, it will not be felt at all. It will depend upon the infrastructure that has been laid down in certain areas on your planet, since there is much diversity on your world and many different approaches to different things, then different areas will likewise experience the result and the consequences in different ways. The basic thing to understand, however, is that when individuals begin to lay down other systems, alternate systems, new ideas, and put them into place, then it will not really matter if the old systems crumble or collapse, for new ones will be there, ready and willing to take their place and take up what you call the slack. Now, at the same time, sometimes what you would call a, well, break from the old paradigm may be a welcome thing and give individuals a chance to rethink how they go about setting up certain systems to allow them in the future to become far more flexible, less rigid, which is a metaphor for how you need to really live your lives as well. So I would simply overall suggest that you don't really worry about it, for I will tell you this with absolute certainty. The more you worry about it being a problem, the more you magnetically will draw yourself into a circumstance where you will experience it as a problem. Instead, I would suggest that you allow yourself to treat it as an amazing opportunity to allow systems to shift and change very rapidly, and that you position yourself by your energy and your own certainty so that you will know that you will be where you need to be, when you need to be there, and that you will experience, no matter what anyone else has experienced, so that you personally will experience only a beneficial result from such a consequence instead of a negative one. Does that make sense to you?
It makes sense to me.
And your second question?
A personal question.
Yes?
When I wake up from a deep sleep, it's happened to me many times in my 42 years.
That you have woken up? Yes, I would think so.
This occurrence has happened many times.
Oh, I see. All right.
What we have is a little tiny light in our night light thing. And when I wake up and I'm looking at this light, if I'm faced in that direction,
yes,
I will actually see a scene as I'm waking up.
Yes.
It has nothing to do with the room. I will visually see a different scene.
Yes.
And slowly, the bedroom over a minute or two will come back into focus.
Yes.
It's happened many times. I was just wondering.
This can be many things. It can be, number one, that in your dream reality, you have a very strong imposition of an experience that you are having in the dream realm, and that when you transition back into physical reality, there is still the overlay of the dream template, and you are seeing that illuminated as it fades into the blending back into of your physical reality. Number two, you can allow yourself to understand that sometimes, and this is almost the same thing, certain states, especially upon just going to sleep and just waking up, will allow there to be a moment or two in your terms of time where you actually are, for that moment, far more connected to multidimensional reality than you normally might be. And you may really be peering through the veils or the barriers of one dimension to another and able to see other things, other times, other places, so to speak, other experiences, alternate universes, parallel realities, for the moment, until you reestablish a connection and a rapport with the physical reality time stream that you consider to be your normal daily one. The idea here is to understand, of course, that all times and all dimensions, all are one. All are here, and in a sense, all are now. And sometimes in the proper state of mind, in the proper state of being, you can pierce the so-called veils that have been created by your consciousness that separates these things into different reality streams. Sometimes it can also simply be impressions that are retained, number three, by your memory centers, that it may impose themselves upon your cellular structure, your brain cells, and that the activation of the light in this context, in a dark room or a dimly lit room, may allow there to be like catalog retrieval of images that are stored in your memory to be brought back momentarily until again you impose the outer reality upon them. It can be any of these three or any number of other ideas. The basic idea, however, is this. Whatever the actual origination of this experience is, you can learn to exercise, to stretch your imagination and wrap your imagination around it in terms of what kind of a state does it put you in and what do you want to do with it and how does it expand you creatively in order to understand all the different ways and means in which this might be being created. Do you understand?
Exactly.
Does this help you?
How can I exploit this if I choose to exploit this theory?
Well, as I have just said, it takes an exercise of imagination. It can be that you can just sort of stay with it for a moment, recall the image that you saw, because when you use your memory,
You are recreating it in the present. You're not really recalling it from the past. You are recreating it in the moment, in the present. And so if you wish to, you can recall the image as best as you can. Explore it with your mind, with your imagination. See what it has to offer you. Sometimes it may be representative of a very literal scenario, but sometimes it may only be representative of what you would call a symbolic or metaphorical scenario. But nevertheless, no matter which one it is, it will still have meaning that you have imbued into it and that you can extract from it, because they are symbols relevant to your mind, your consciousness. And so by playing around in it and exploring it in whatever way you wish to, as if you are, shall we say, perusing what you might call a video archive or a library or an image source or your internet, if you simply peruse through it, certain images will stand out here and there and draw your attention to them. And as they do, you will then feel in some senses or experience in some way the downloading of information. You will know what it means to you the longer that you stay with it, and you will absorb information that you can use in your day-to-day reality that you have given yourself from another level of consciousness. Does that make sense to you?
Very much.
Then have a good time and pleasant dreams.
Good evening, Bashar.
And to you, good day.
I would just like to hear your...
Speak up and be bold.
I would just like to hear your perspective on three different areas.
Three different areas. All right.
The first one is what might be coming forth this summer in England, primarily, where all the beautiful crop formations are being shown on many levels.
Yes.
If you just might comment on what might be coming forth this summer that's different from the past 10, 12 years.
Oh, right. Now, first of all, of course, you understand that in that particular area of your planet, these formations have already begun. You understand?
Oh, yes. Definitely.
All right. And, of course, there are more and more of these formations around your planet now every year, not just in that area you call England. You understand?
Yes.
All right. In general, first of all, to lay a foundation, the thing to understand is this about what you call crop circles. They are a composite creation of collective consciousness from a variety of different levels and dimensions, including your own. And they are like unto dream communications from your higher consciousness to your physical consciousnesses. It is like symbols of a dream language. It is that your collective consciousness, that oversoul being, that is all of you put together, is starting to talk to you in symbols, a language of dreams, a language of creation. You are speaking to yourselves and using these symbols to wake yourselves up on an individual basis. As more and more individuals become attracted to these formations, you will find yourself resonating with higher frequencies that are representative of your own higher consciousness and other dimensional consciousnesses to which you are connected. Other beings, spirits, guides, angelic realms, sometimes even extraterrestrials, are involved in helping co-create the images through energy manipulation. But what all of us are using to do that is the medium, or if you will, the canvas of your collective consciousness, and thus then the natural growing living things as the natural biological energy canvas in which these things can be imprinted. Now, in this, what you call your present upcoming summertime, you will find that there may be some directions that will have to do with creation of what you would call more grids. There may also be an inclusion of sevenfold geometry. And there may be that which you would recognize as more fractal expressions that will be geometric activation symbols. Because now is the time for acceleration and activity and application. So you will see some more of this. There will also be, potentially, as we scan the energy now, in maybe one, two, or three of the formations, an unusual dot-like pattern that will be indicative of things that may be coming up in the next several years on your planet as the transition of your consciousness continues. Does this help you?
Yes, can you illuminate?
No. Number two.
All right, thank you. The second question is,
yes,
in the upcoming earth changes that are seem to be accelerating now,
yes,
how do you see the Toronto area in general as an energy matrix and as a place where it is one of the, if not the most multicultural city on earth? How this part of the world might contribute in the larger scheme of things in terms of a lot of the earth changes.
What I will say about that is to understand, as you have already recognized, that because it is a collection point for many different perspectives and points of view, then there is a vast amount of available energy to allow there to be a very holistic expansion of energy around the planet, in that there is the ability to coexist smoothly, bring together a bunch of different perspectives smoothly, and allow them to coexist and interblend and interact and create more than the sum of their parts. That in and of itself is a symbol of the overall energy that your area of the planet is radiating to the rest of the planet. Kind of, in a sense, like a metronomic measurement device for how differences and diversity can be smoothly blended together without losing the diversity within the union. Does that make sense to you?
Absolutely.
Now, of course, what this will rely upon, as with anything, is your willingness, once you have keyed into this with your imagination, to do something, to express something actively, so that you can, by example, show what that energy is all about. And all this means is following your excitement, being who you know yourself to be, doing the things that you love to do, and by example, radiating that energy into your world. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah.
And remember, all these so-called earth changes are really just reflective of the changes going on already in your collective consciousness, and the physical changes will only need to be whatever state of being your collective consciousness believes it needs to experience in order to go through a transition. The more willing you are to change and become who you truly are, the less likely it will need to be that any physical earth changes will have to jolt you awake. Do you understand?
Yes.
Does that help you?
Yes.
Number three.
Number three is...
Yes?
Is there a way for the layman to understand... There's been
the layman...
Well, the human.
Oh, all right, the human, yes.
There's been a lot from the scientific area about the subatomic particles called neutrinos.
Yes.
And these beautiful little elements that are pouring into our planet and through us, if there's a way that you could help us understand how we might receive and better understand what these particles are actually contributing.
All right, thank you. They are one level that is closer to understanding how every particle in your physical universe is the same particle. Let us explain. From our perspective, we have a view that we have, in your language, labeled the prime radiant, that goes something like this. Now, we understand that when we use the term particle, we know that that is a euphemism. Even your own scientists understand that when they describe particles, subatomic particles, they're not necessarily really talking about little grains of solid substance, but they're talking about light, energy, and they're talking about relationships, and so forth. But we will use the term particle for convenience in this illustration, all right? And so, the neutrino is much closer than a lot of other subatomic particles to the following principle, as well as is the idea of quarks. Also, very close to the following principle, to which your scientists are also getting very close, and that is this. Imagine, if you will, and all of you can do this, vast, vast emptiness. Black, empty void. Nothing in it. Again, just for the purposes of illustration. Now imagine, if you will, one single little particle In the midst of all that vastness, infinite vastness, there is only this one little particle floating in it. So picture that. Now, imagine, as many of your scientists use this terminology, that this particle is, for all intents and purposes, massless. In other words, it is not affected by any force. It can go anywhere, do anything it wants. It's not affected by inertia, not by gravity. There is no gravity. There is no inertia. There's nothing but this particle. So it is affected by nothing. Therefore, it can really travel at infinite speed. It is massless. So it's not violating any laws of physics by going as fast as it wants to go. It can travel at infinite speed. Infinite speed. Now then picture that if this particle is truly traveling at infinite speed, that means it can be anywhere and everywhere within the infinite void at the same time. So what might appear to be billions and billions and billions of particles is actually only one particle zipping around so fast that it appears next to itself over and over and over and over and over and over again, making it appear as if there's more than one particle. That's the way it is. So, if you understand that there is really only one prime radiant particle, and it is simply following what might be considered to be a geometric path through this infinite void, for lack of a better term, for this illustrative purpose, then you can understand that all of the particles, all of the atoms that make up your body, all of the atoms that make up the Earth, all of the atoms that make up the stars, all of the atoms that make up every galaxy within the entirety of your physical universe are all made from the same one particle. Not the same type of particle, the same literal one particle. In the ultimate time-sharing program. Doing infinite double duty as everything there is to be. So understand the implications here. If it is all the same one particle, if the one particle that makes up what appears to be all the atoms of your body is the same particle that makes up the most distant galaxy you can perceive or imagine, then any time you make any kind of a change at all, you affect everything in creation. You alter the path of the particle by going from here to here with your little finger. You are actually impacting the farthest galaxy because you're changing the path of the same particle that makes up everything. That's how powerful you are. Does that give you a clue how to use the idea of neutrinos? Thank you. Of course, I understand that what you are doing is applauding for the universe, for its beautiful, simplistic design. It is infinitely complex, but it is not complicated. It is absolutely, perfectly simple, because there is only here and there is only now. And therefore, there can only be one thing that occupies that here and now. So that one thing has to be everything there is to be. Simple as that.
Beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you. And?
Can you tell us?
Good day, good day. What happened to good day?
Good evening.
All right, good evening. If it is evening where you are, all right.
Can you tell us, give us any idea how much longer the Earth as we know it is going to continue?
Well, now you have created an interesting question, and of course you can understand there are many ways to interpret the phrase as you know it. Can you be more specific about what you mean by as we know it? Because in the very next instant, it is different. So how do you mean as we know it? So that I can be more specific.
I guess I mean the mess we're in, like we're
mess?
We're dropping bombs everywhere.
Oh, I see. All right, all right. Well, may I ask you a question first?
Of course.
All right, thank you. How long will the Earth be in the mess it is in now, since you're the one living on the planet? You tell me, it's your planet. How long will it take? How long?
I don't know.
Oh, yes, you do. You can at least give me a general answer. How long? How long will it take for your planet to change? How long? Thank you. Thank you. So when will you decide to change? All right, some of you say, right now. And therefore, pay attention, therefore, for you, it will change right now. For those that don't necessarily allow it to change right now, it won't. Because remember, physical reality is a mirror. Now, yes, I understand that you have all agreed on some type of mass consensus reality, and you have agreed on diversity. And so it is possible that even though you are living your life quite differently than someone else, you will still, even though you might be living a very balanced life, still be capable for a while of watching others that might be out of balance. I will give you this answer in a number of ways. Number one, in general, as we read your energy collectively now, because there's no such thing as a prediction of the future, no such thing as a prediction of the future. There is only a sensing of the energy that exists at the time the prediction is made. If that energy doesn't change, then the prediction comes to pass, and you have read the future. But you haven't read the future. You have only seen a probable future based on where the energy is at the time the prediction is sensed. If that energy changes, then the prediction goes out the window. And many times, the fact that a prediction is made changes the energy and renders itself obsolete. So, the idea, first and foremost, is to understand that what I'm about to answer is an answer based on the energy as we read the collective energy now on your planet. And what we read is that it is most likely, the momentum is most likely, that sometime between your years of 2011 and 2013, you will probably not be exhibiting the same behavior that your countries are exhibiting now. Now, that will be, in general, the beginning of some major changes, and by about your year of 2027, 2037, you will find that your world will be changed potentially enough to become what we might call a member of an association of other worlds. So, the idea, however, is that before that, of course, there will be other shifts, other thresholds to cross, and it will all be determined on how willing any single individual on your planet is to change and live as the person they want to be, as if they're already living in the world they want to live in. Because by example, will you allow others the opportunity to see in your behavior how they can behave too. Not that you have to force them, because you can't. But by living the way you want to live, by being who you really are, then you know you're doing everything you can to help others choose to do that too, because they see by you a living example of how they can live their joy as well. And so the more of you that begin to do that, you build a momentum, you cross the threshold, and you allow your world more opportunity to choose what it says it prefers. And that collective energy seems to be heading toward certain kinds of overall resolutions sometime between 2011 and 2013, although there will be some very major changes coming up at the turn of your millennium, information-wise, as you say, and specifically also between 2005 and 2007, that will begin to throw a lot of light on a lot of circumstances. But it takes a great deal of willingness to be responsible for the choices that you make and the consequences you create. Does that make some sense?
Yes, thank you.
Does that help you?
Yes.
Is that sufficient?
That is.
Thank you. And to you, good day.
I actually have a question about a cat that I live with.
A cat?
Yes.
All right.
I intuitively know that she's ill,
ill,
dying.
Yes.
But the vet did every kind of test on her and can't find anything wrong.
All right. Then, what is, in your terms, the outward appearance or the signs or the symptomology?
Well, she's always throwing up.
All right.
And she's constantly purring, which means two things. When cats purr, that they're either really happy or that they're in pain.
All right.
And I know she's not happy.
All right. Anything else?
She always hides in a corner.
For how long?
As long as she wants.
No. I mean, for how long has this been occurring?
About 3 months.
All right.
And she doesn't eat, and she's getting really skinny.
Did you notice any significant change in your environment at that time or circumstance?
Well, I guess she started when we moved to our new place.
Well, then there is an adjustment that needs to be made.
What sort of adjustment?
Well, we will see. First of all, why did you move?
Bad location, bad place.
And now?
Better location, better place.
All right. In what way?
More light.
More light.
We lived in a basement. Now we're living on the second floor with lots of windows.
All right. And now I will ask you another question, if I may. May I?
Sure.
Why, thank you. Answer however you wish. What is your greatest fear? Just a simple question. What is your greatest fear?
Love.
What is your greatest fear?
Love.
You are afraid of love, or afraid you cannot give it, or what? Be specific.
Afraid to receive it.
Afraid to receive love. Why? What do you think will happen?
I don't know.
Yes, you do. Don't say you don't know. You see, we've been talking to your people long enough so that we don't buy that excuse anymore. You do know. You really do. It's all right. Don't be afraid. It's all right to know. I will tell you this before you answer. Whatever it is you think you know about why you're afraid to receive love isn't your truth. Therefore, it's all right to know what it is, because it isn't really your truth. Do you follow that?
Sure.
So, why are you afraid to receive love? What is the worst possible thing that would happen if you opened yourself up to receive love? Use your imagination. I know you can all use your imagination to figure out the worst. So what is the worst possible thing you're afraid might happen if you open yourself up to receive love? Give me an example. Well? Come.
That'll change.
That you'll change? Are you just guessing now?
I'm guessing.
All right. When you say that you're afraid to receive love, can you paint a picture or actually describe a scenario that describes what you're saying?
No, I just want to get back to the cat.
No. We are talking about the cat, but not the way you think. If you are not capable of digesting yourself, if you are hiding in a corner of your consciousness, if you are feeling the life drain out of you because this fear is in the core of your soul, what do you think the cat's going to reflect to you?
Okay.
Yes, because that's what animals do. They love you unconditionally. And they will, in no uncertain terms, reflect back to you exactly the area you need to work on. Cats, especially on your planet, are symbolically the link between your physical and higher realms, because you know they can see things you can't see. Therefore, the cat is seeing something you're not looking at, and is being willing to be loving enough to take upon itself the effect of the processing of that fear so that you can go through the process more smoothly. That is how much the cat loves you. But I would suggest the cat's body only has a certain amount of tolerance. Therefore, the sooner you get in touch with what is going on within your great fear, the sooner you will see a change in the animal. Do you follow this?
Yeah.
So, you don't have to necessarily get back into it right now, but I will take this opportunity to ask you one more time, why are you afraid to receive love? What do you mean by that? All right, well, do you understand something? And that something is, you are loved by the universe unconditionally. Do you understand that much?
Mm-hmm.
Then start there and allow yourself to look at it perhaps this way. And this is not a chastisement, and it is not a judgment. But it is an exercise that can give you an opportunity to change your mind about how you feel about this relationship with yourself in receiving love. And that is this. If you really do know that you are loved unconditionally by the universe, by the infinite, by the creator, by whatever you wish to call it, doesn't matter, then why would you throw that gift back in its face by not loving yourself? You follow me?
Yeah.
You see the logic there?
Mm-hmm.
In fact, and again, I do not mean this as a chastisement or a judgment. Please don't take it that way. In fact, when most of you talk about having the experience of being afraid to receive love, not loving yourself enough, not being worthy of love, and so forth, and any variation of this theme, it sounds to you like you're being some form of humble. In fact, this is the most arrogant thing you can do. This is sheer arrogance. Because if you know that the universe is unconditionally loving and that everything in the universe is worthy of the unconditional love of creation except you, then you are exalting yourself as so different and so special that only you are not worthy of the unconditional love and support of all that is. That's an arrogant stance, not one of humility. So to not allow love in your life, to be afraid of receiving love, is to disavow yourself as a creation and to disavow that creation knew what it was doing when it created you. You're saying, I'm a mistake. I'm a pointless creation. I do not deserve this unconditional love. I refuse to receive it because I don't belong here, so your creation is flawed by my existence. That's what you're saying to the infinite. Now, the infinite doesn't care because the infinite loves you so unconditionally, it will actually allow you to think you're not loved. That's how much love it gives you. It supports you so totally, it will allow you to believe you are totally unsupported because that's what you say you want. Therefore, it will allow you to feel that. But any time you are willing to realize that your ability to believe that you are incapable of receiving love, that your ability to experience that comes from the fact that you are unconditionally supported and loved, then all of a sudden, perhaps, you will be tired of that game and start allowing it to be all right to feel the love that comes from the infinite and start loving yourself and receiving love. Does that make sense? Then our unconditional love to you. Thank you for your boldness and willingness to share, and sweet dreams. And don't forget to ask for help, because you all have guides. And remember that the animals on your planet are some of those guides. So understand how to look at them when they reflect things like that to you. All right?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi.
And you, good day.
Finally, you're here.
Well, I'm not there, but I understand what you are saying.
A very good friend of mine introduced to you years back, and when I heard Daryl explaining how he realized that he made this agreement or he did something with inside of me.
All right.
Started to tickle.
Tickle.
It out.
Yes, all right.
I have several people who were trans-channeling, and when they described the process, it seemed like so much work.
Oh, well, not if you understand that it is part of the process of your joy. It does, in a sense, shall we say, put you through changes, yes. It does give you challenges, yes. But work in the sense of it being a struggle, it doesn't have to be if you understand that it is representative of your joy. Do you follow?
Well, honestly, the reason I dropped the whole issue, because
yes,
it's sad, there's no joy in it.
All right, then don't do it. Now, I want you to pay attention to this very closely. This is how you make the assessment. This is how you double-check yourself. If something does not contain what you believe to be a representation of your highest joy, do this simple exercise. Number one, ask yourself, is it just my definitions? Is it just my beliefs that is preventing me from seeing that it could be representative of my joy? Or is it truly, honestly, not representative of my truth and my joy? You have to make the honest assessment as to which one it is. If you know that it is really not representative of your joy, I would strongly advise you not to do it that way. I would strongly advise you then to follow whatever is your highest joy at any given moment. But again, at the same time, always take an opportunity, because you don't always know what's going on in different areas of your consciousness, to make sure that it doesn't seem exciting only because you may be attaching a label or a meaning to it that makes it seem as if it's more work and less joy than it could be. So always make sure it's not your labels coloring it. And when you have done that, then if it's truly still not representative of your excitement, I would suggest you do whatever is. Because whatever is your purpose and your mission in life. At any moment, whatever excites you the most is the vibration, like a compass needle, of your true self pointing true north. That's what that sensation tells you. The thing that contains the highest amount of joy is the thing you need to take action on, because that thing contains the energy that is most naturally, truly, unerringly, effortlessly you, the real you, at the heart, at the core. So act on it. And in the next moment, act on the next most exciting thing that you can, and the next moment, the next most exciting thing. Whether they appear connected on the surface or not is not the issue. Whether they appear to get you where you think you're supposed to go is not the issue. Follow the thread of excitement, not the way things appear. The excitement is the unerring thread that leads you to yourself and more excitement. So if it doesn't really excite you, I would suggest you do something else that does. Does that make sense?
It does. I would rephrase it a little bit. I'm a Reiki therapist. I'm channeling the energy stuff.
Yes.
And I'm counseling people, and I've been a great help to them. I understand that. Now, is this agreement is still being fulfilled as I thought?
Are you doing it in a manner that allows you to feel you are doing what excites you the most or not?
Absolutely.
It is the most exciting thing you can imagine doing?
Yes.
Are you doing it in the most exciting way you can imagine doing it, or could you be doing it in a more exciting way?
I'd like to do it more.
Would you like to do it in a more exciting way?
Yes.
Then do so. Trust your imagination. That's the point. Even if you are doing something you deem to be exciting, always make sure you're really doing it in the most exciting way you could be doing it, because you don't necessarily have to follow the way someone else says it's supposed to be. Mm-hmm. You can use your imagination to make sure that you're doing it your way. And that's the whole point.
I hear you.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Does that help you?
Yes.
All right.
I have another question.
Yes.
It is about you.
Oh, well, right about us.
Could you tell us how your beings are related to each other, how we understand relationships are? And I'm aware of it a little bit different that we are experiencing in this reality.
Guys, well, our entire civilization of approximately 230 million beings considers all of us to be in one marriage. Do you understand?
Yes.
We are all members of one family. Do you understand?
Yes.
Now, yes, of course, there are specific, in a sense, families, but the children are the children of all. The adults are the parents of all children. We are telepathically united. We interact spontaneously according to our highest joys, knowing that we will be exactly where we need to be, when we need to be there, interacting with whom exactly we need to interact, when we need to interact with them, without any planning whatsoever. And we trust the flow of our reality to that degree. So we are in one large, ongoing, spontaneous, interactive relationship with each other all the time, supporting the infinite diversity of every individual, and by supporting the infinite diversity of every individual, forming the strongest possible holistic union possible. You follow?
Yes.
Did that answer your question?
Do you choose at times to spend more time with certain individuals than others?
Yes, but again, that happens spontaneously. It's not like we have to think about it. When we find our synchronicity, allowing that to come about, then we simply recognize that that's what's happening. We don't necessarily know it before the fact, but as we're in the event and as the event continues and as it passes, then we might be able to look back and say, well, I guess I've spent more time with you than anyone else. So I guess that's the way it was supposed to be. Because we trust our reality. You follow?
Yes.
Does that answer your question?
Yes.
Thank you.
Just a brief question.
Oh, brief. All right, brief.
This
seems to be dividing and multiplying, yes?
I could say I speak for many of us.
All right.
I understand that we would like to see you more here in Toronto, and as it is, there is not a possibility.
Again, you must always trust the timing. Everything has its own purpose, its own timing, its own reason. And therefore, you must understand that whatever it is going on is exactly what needs to be going on, and your relationship to it is exactly what it needs to be for you to get what you need. No more, no less. So trust the timing and take it as a sign that if things change, that means new things are coming up. How exciting. You follow?
Yeah.
Don't hang on to the past. Trust and make a friend of change. Make a friend of the unknown, because change is the fourth law. And there are only four laws in creation. I'll give them to you now. Number one, you exist. Can't do much about that. Now, when I say laws, I mean laws that cannot be broken. That's what a law is. I don't mean the laws that your people create or people on other planets might create that are simply societal laws for the purpose of getting along on a societal level, because they can be broken and obviously often are. I do not even mean what you call sometimes the laws of physics, because sometimes some of those laws are only conditional to certain universal realms and don't apply on every dimensional level. There are only four true laws in creation, and they are true laws because they cannot be broken. You can try. You will not be able to break them. They cannot be broken. Number one, you exist. And that means in some form or other, you always have and you always will. That which exists only has one quality, isness. It cannot become non-isness. Non-existence is already filled up with all the things that will never exist. There's no room in non-existence for that which exists. It's like two sides of the same coin. You have to have both polarities in order to have a coin. The face of the coin will never become the tail will never become the face. You have to have both, and they must simultaneously be there in order to have the coin at all. So that which is already the face of the coin, isness, will always be isness. That will never change. It's constant forever and ever. Law number two. The one is the all. The all are the one. All the parts together form the one. The one created all the parts from itself, because there is no outside beyond the one. The one is all things. And every part is the one expressing itself as a part of the one. It's all the same thing, but the parts and the one express the totality of creation in different polarized ways. Law number three, what you put out is what you get back. We talked about the idea of reality being a mirror. That's all it means. Whatever frequency you're on, whatever you give off, is what gets reflected back. Plain and simple. Law number four. Everything changes except the first three laws. Change is the only constant. Everything changes except the first three laws. Now understand that what that means is the fourth law changes. And because the fourth law is about everything changing, then when change becomes its own opposite,
What does that mean? It becomes non-changingness, and that creates the first three unchanging laws. So the fourth law creates the first three create the fourth. It is a self-fulfilling, self-created, spiraling loop. That is all there is. That's the only four laws that exist. Every experience you have on any dimensional level, anywhere, anywhen, anyhow, is the result of a combination of experiences of the principles of those four laws. That's it. No more, no less. So, make a friend of change. Make a friend of the unknown. Don't fear it, because only within change and only within the unknown will you ever discover the totality of who and what you are. So when things change, rejoice. Be excited, for you know you're about to discover more of your unexpected self. Get the point?
Yeah.
Thank you.
It was nice meeting you.
And you as well.
Good evening, Bashar.
And to you, good day.
My question is, I have a friend staying with me.
Oh, all right.
Woman friend, yes. Who is seriously ill.
Yes, in what way?
With hepatitis C.
Yes.
And I am wondering about the prognosis for her, her health.
What have you already attempted to alleviate this condition with? And what kind of approaches have you taken?
Organic grown foods and various high-quality food supplements.
Is that all you have done? Have there been any other disciplines that have been attempted?
No.
None whatsoever?
No.
All right. Are there any that you plan to attempt?
No.
Why not?
I don't know. I don't feel my friend doesn't believe that anything else is available.
Then nothing else will help.
Yeah.
However, there are many things that can help. But it's up to your friend to decide whether or not she will believe that this is possible. That's the first step. Now, we can suggest a few different things, but again, it's up to her, because we can never force an idea upon anyone. You follow me?
Yes, certainly.
One thing that can be of great assistance now, because many of you are beginning to realize and develop more natural ingredients, more natural ideas, is a combination substance that you call vitamin C and MSM. Do you follow?
Yes.
In combination, in doses of between 6,000 milligrams of each to 10,000 milligrams of each per day, it can begin the repair of the body necessary to bring this condition back into balance. Also, there can be strong homeopathic methodologies that can bring this condition back into balance quite rapidly. Also, there can be the ingestion of purified water in combination with bodily treatments of energy healing and deep muscular massage that can bring realignment to the organs and express from the cells the toxins therein with deep neuromuscular tissue therapy and large ingestions of amounts of purified water. These are three different ideas that can be done in combination or individually. But again, it is up to the individual to decide that there is something else that can be done. Otherwise, nothing can be done. Does this make sense?
Yes.
Does this help?
Yes, the pure water is that's being taken care of.
All right, but that's not enough.
This is sufficient. Thank you.
Does that help you?
Yes, it does. Very much so.
Thank you. Also, it would help if the individual were to have a regimen of deep, 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 regular breathing exercises, yogic in fashion, to center the energy of the body, to build up the energy of the body, and to support the immunological system. Oxygen is the key. You follow?
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. Basically, it is, in your terms, organic sulfur. You will find it, however, under the nomenclature of MSM. It is a natural substance, and in combination with vitamin C, is very strong and effective for organic tissue reconstruction. You may find in what you call your health store outlets this product by that nomenclature, MSM. Thank you.
I'd like to ask one other question.
Oh, all right, if you would like to.
Yes, yes I would. Thank you.
Oh, all right, go ahead.
Is there any personal advice with regard to the path that I am on?
The path that you are on is you. You are not on a path, you are a path.
Yes, I understand that.
Did you hear us talk about the idea of following your excitement and your joy to the best of your ability every moment?
Yes.
That's the best advice we can give to everyone. Mm-hmm. Because the only mission and the only purpose and the only path you have, the only goal all of you have in your lives is the same one, and that is to be yourself as best as you can. How you choose to express that is up to you, but the way it most often reveals itself to you is by what comes to you, what is presented to you, that contains at any given moment the highest amount of excitement. By being willing to have the faith to act on it and recognize it as yourself, you are, as you say, staying on your path. Make sense?
Yep, sure is.
That's all there is to it.
That's what I'm doing.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And by the way, all of you, just as a reminder, in case this sounds extremely overly simple, it is that simple. It is that simple. You can make it more complicated if you want to, and I would never take that away from you. Because it's your reality, and if you want it to be more of a struggle, if you want it to be more effort-filled, if you want it to be more painful, by all means, explore to your heart's content. But it is that simple.
Thank you.
Good evening, Michelle.
And you, good day.
Thank you so much for that wonderful book of yours that you channeled. That was really Blueprint for Change. That was excellent.
Oh, hi.
I attended a three-day spirituality in the workplace conference recently, and wept spontaneously for the first day and really enjoyed myself for the next two.
Yes, and?
Since then, I've wondered how I can recreate that environment in my life every day. That spirituality in the workplace, in everyday life.
All right, well, I've just given you a clue by changing recreate to create. Is it really in the past? No. It's right here, right now. Isn't it? Isn't it? Or is it? You tell me.
It is, and I'm not in the workplace.
Here's the point. As we have already said, memory is created in the present. So I'll ask it this way. Do you, I know you do, and this will sound redundant, but play along. Do you remember the experience and how it felt?
Yes, I do.
Well, as you remember it, don't you feel it?
Yes, I do.
Well, what's the difference then?
I don't feel it in the workplace.
Why not? Do you remember the experience in the workplace? Do you allow yourself to remember what the experience felt like when you're in the workplace? Yes, no,
no,
maybe?
No.
All right, well, why not?
Well, there's just no opportunity to.
Oh, you mean you don't create an opportunity to?
Correct.
Well, why don't you?
There's no allowing for it in the workplace.
No allowing for it. All right. Then that probably brings us down to what you typically always call the million-dollar question once again. Are you doing what you would really prefer to do, or is there something more exciting you could be doing?
Of course.
Of course?
It doesn't pay well.
Of course.
I could serve the Creator a whole lot better, but it doesn't pay well. It doesn't pay immediately.
Oh, I see. That old belief system. You know that's just a belief system. It's not empirically true.
Well, how best do I serve the Creator?
By being yourself.
I am myself.
No, you're not. Because you're doing something you say you don't prefer to do. Because it doesn't pay well to do something else. What you're saying is this. What is truly me, what I truly am, and what I was created by the Creator to be, isn't worth being supported. Isn't that what you're saying?
There are too many of us around.
Too many of what around?
Too many of us light workers who want to impart wisdom and do body work.
I believe you're missing the point. Let's not talk about anyone else. Let's talk about you. Never mind anyone else and who else is around. We're talking about you and what you say you prefer to be. Yes or no?
Correct.
Thank you. So let's stay with the subject, which is you. Okay?
Okay.
Okay. Thank you. We can agree on that. All right. What you're saying is that what it is you would prefer to do is not worthwhile as a part of the Creator's universe to be supported by the Creator's universe.
Okay, when do I start?
You tell me. Do you believe that what you have to share is worth being supported?
Of course.
Well, then why aren't you doing it? Because it doesn't pay well. Shall I impart to you the key seed secret of abundance?
Of course.
Thank you. And this goes for all forms of abundance, including, since we know you have it on your planet, money. Because that's valid. If you have it, it's valid. But it's all forms of abundance. Here is the seed key principle, the core principle of all abundance and the manifestation thereof. Are you all paying attention? Are you sure? All right. I'll repeat it if necessary. When you learn to do more with less, you will be able to do less to get more. One more time. When you learn that you can do more with less, you will transition into a state where you will only have to do a little to get a lot. You will be able to do less to get more when you learn to do more with less. When you are able to use what you already have to the fullest you can use it, when you trust your imagination and you trust your gift and you trust that on whatever level now you are capable of expressing it, that that is sufficient to start, and when you use that amount to whatever degree you can in all the ways your imagination can imagine doing it, when you do as much as you can with what you have, you will transition yourself into a creative state wherein then you will be able to do just the little you need to do, but you will get a reflection a thousandfold back of what you are doing because you are willing to be your true self, and the universe will amplify that willingness back to you. The greatest expression of power requires the gentlest touch. If you feel like you have to make your reality do something, that you have to force things into position, that you have to arrange circumstances and exert a lot of effort to push and pull things into place and into shape, what you're saying is that you don't actually have a lot of personal power because you have to do all this shuffling. If you knew you had great personal power and were a channel and a conduit for infinite power, you would know that you could accomplish a lot with the gentlest of touches, because in every gentle touch would be nearly infinite power. So the more that you learn that you can do with the littlest touch, then you will only need the littlest touch to accomplish a lot. Look at, and we will use this analogy as we have used it before, the idea on your planet you call an artist. If, as an artist, you feel you need all the fancy paints and all the fancy pens and all the fancy pencils and papers in order to be an artist, and you're not willing to express your artistry until you have those things, you're not an artist. If, however, you have at your disposal a charred stick, and you can draw images with the end of that charred stick, then do the best charred stick images you are capable of doing if that's all you've got. Do not most of you recognize that some of the charred stick images that you find in ancient cave paintings are some of the most beautiful art that rival some of the most modern art you have today? Well, the artists then didn't stop and say, well, we'll wait around till the invention of paint. We'll wait around till the invention of computer graphics before we start doing something. No, they used what they had to the best of their ability. They made the most of what they had when they used the little they had to the most they could use it. Now, if you are an artist and you're using this charred stick, don't you then also notice in your society that when an artist does express their true artistry, and when they become well known, and when they become more accomplished and more advanced, isn't it seem pretty typical that all they then have to do is almost just sign their name on a piece of paper and it goes for millions of dollars? They now have to do very little to be worth a lot, because they were willing to use what very little they originally had to the fullest that they could. That's the principle. When you can do more with less, you will then only need to do less to get more. But you have to be willing to use what you've got. If you hold back and you hesitate and you wait, the universe is just as closed and just as hesitant as you are exhibiting, because that's the third law. What you put out is what you get back. Make sense? So you have to trust that whatever it is you know is true for you, whatever it is that at any given moment excites you the most, if you're willing to act on it, you simply have to know by definition, built in to the principle that it must have the ability to support you somehow, in some way, shape, or form. It may not be as your mind thinks it should, but it will support you, it will give you what you need, or it will bring you into a circumstance by following the thread of your excitement that will bring you what you need. But you'll never find that out if you don't follow the thread. And you have to take the first step by acting on your excitement to the best of your ability, whatever it happens to be, at any given moment. Make sense?
Yes.
Remember, this is physics, not philosophy. Does this help you?
Well, what excites me the most is meditation.
Yes.
The feeling of oneness, that's what excites me the most.
Yes, well, do that in all the ways you can imagine doing that.
All day.
Here's another story. Here's another story. And this comes from your very own planet, and maybe it will illustrate the point a little bit more clearly to you. And I say it comes from your very own planet, so you will understand it's something that actually practically happened, and I'm not making it up as if this is something that could never happen. There was a female whose passion was to tell stories to her children. Just tell stories to her children. That was her overriding passion. She loved doing that the most of all the things she did in her day, tell stories to her children. She did it with such passion that her children began bringing their friends over to hear these stories. And they began bringing their friends over to hear these stories. And those friends began bringing their parents over to hear these stories. And the parents started inviting her to their houses to tell stories to their friends. And pretty soon schools, churches, hospitals, and all sorts of organizations were inviting her to tell stories, and that's all she does now, all her day, when she wants to, tell stories, and she makes a very good living. Just telling stories. But she was willing to understand that all she had to do was follow her excitement, and she didn't sit there and say, well, how can you make a living telling stories? You can't make a living telling stories. Yes, you can. And the point is, again, is that when you really do what you're passionate about, and when you follow that, every time the passion changes, you follow it, because you will learn how to do a little and get a lot, you may find that you won't even have to do it all day long in order to be supported for your entire day.
Does that include meditation?
Does it excite you?
Yes.
Should anything in the universe be excluded from its ability to be representative of your passion?
No.
Then does it include meditation?
How?
How? I'll give you one example of what is possible, but I am not going to restrict all the ways it could happen and unfold for you. Fair enough?
Okay.
You have to use your imagination too. That's the point here. Fair enough?
Okay.
So, I'll give you one possible how. You will supply all the other possible hows. All right?
Okay.
Thank you. Let's say you are on the beach meditating. Or would you prefer I pick some other place that is more to your liking?
That's a great place.
All right, thank you. You are on the beach in perfect, absolute, harmonious, joyful meditation. Everything feels so balanced, so peaceful, so perfect, so unconditionally joyful and loving. You are in the moment. You are one with yourself, one with all that is. You are absolutely the definition of bliss itself. Are you with me so far?
Absolutely.
All right. Then you decide it's time to open your eyes, and standing in front of you is a crowd of 30 people. All staring at you, open mouth in astonishment. And one comes forward and says, I have never in my life ever seen someone as much at peace as I have just seen you. Can you teach me to do that? I'll pay you good money. Did the little light bulb go on as to how one way it might be possible that even meditation, yes, even meditation,
sounds like wishful thinking.
But that is the way your reality actually works. The only reason you call it wishful thinking and demean it with that term is because you've been taught to think of your reality that way. The greatest shock that your society is going to have in this entire age of transition, the greatest shock that is going to occur in your society in this entire age of transition is for your society to finally realize that what you have for all this time thought of as fairy tales is actually the way life is. Yes. That's what you're going to discover. I guarantee you, absolutely, 100% guarantee you, nothing is too good to be true. Nothing. Until you say it's not good enough. Until you say it's not possible. Because you are the master of your domain. And what you believe in goes. Because what you put out is what you get back. And if you put out, that's just wishful thinking. The universe says that is what she believes, that is what we will support. That it is just wishful thinking, and everything that then synchronistically unfolds in her life will only be the things that will reinforce her belief that it's just wishful thinking, and that is where she will stay until she decides she prefers to be somewhere else. That's how it works. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Thank you.
Can I ask you one more quick question?
That was the question. So I suppose you can. Would you like to ask another?
Yes, please.
You don't have to ask if you can ask.
Thank you. On June 21st, we will have our 5th annual World Peace Festival at High Park.
All right.
How can we make this a successful event in bringing peace to the world?
You can still ask that question after everything we have said.
Give me
be yourself.
Something.
Be yourself. Will you be at this festival, playful as a child, spontaneous, loving, as creative, imaginative as you possibly can imagine being?
Mm-hmm.
Then that's how. That's it. That's all it takes. Thank you.
Trust your imagination for any other expression of the same.
Thank you very much.
Have fun.
I will.
Thank you.
Bashar, good evening.
And to you, good day.
This is a very exciting opportunity. I've been looking forward to this for a long time.
We have been looking backwards to it.
I've been listening to your tapes and reading your books for years now, and I have a question which has sort of been around for a long time, and I appreciate being able to ask it.
Bring it up.
As far back as I can recall, yes. I've had a profound curiosity and a deep interest in matters of technology.
Yes.
And more specifically, those technologies related to energy, its use and generation have been a particular interest.
Yes.
For years, I've drawn to myself a number of projects along this line, but none have succeeded to date.
Well, that depends on how you define success.
I understand what you're saying.
All right.
Let me finish the question.
By all means.
I would like to understand why this is, and more specifically, the one that I am involved in now, and where it is headed. What I would like to know is, where does this inclination stem from, and is this partly why I am here on this planet at this time?
It stems from you designing yourself to be interested in the frequency that these things represent, because B, you know that that will be of great assistance. And so, yes, it is wholly why you are where you are. Because anything of that ilk to you, as you've designed your personality consciousness, is representative of what you believe will be of best assistance. Take heart. You are helping in the journey of exploration itself. And as you explore and learn and discover, bit by bit, piece by piece, going down this path, then changing, going down this path, exploring this, exploring that, saying this works, this doesn't, you are bringing with you the collective consciousness of your people and helping them bit by bit, step by step, become more ready, willing, and prepared for the jolt that they will receive when such devices actually finally begin to manifest, because they need to be prepared to absorb these kinds of changes in specific ways. Do you follow that?
Yes.
The journey is the event. The journey is the success. It is all one thing. Don't see it as a process toward. Understand that it is simply another variation of what it is you're doing. No matter how it manifests itself, it's all one thing. And what you're doing now in the way you're going about it is like creating and laying down the template, the blueprint, the foundation upon which then things can materially manifest when the timing is correct for all concerned, when it is most appropriate and most capable of all absorbing what will then manifest. Do not be impatient. You follow?
Yes.
Have fun. Enjoy. Open up. Use your imagination. Play with it. Sometimes, perhaps, don't put too much structure on it. Let it structurize itself. Follow your intuition. Open up to ideas from different points of view that you may not have considered to be worthwhile or even plausible or probable. But explore them nevertheless, because that will let you know other things, other parameters, other perspectives that will be important later on. Does this help?
Yes, it does. I don't
understand. Can you be specific about the kinds of devices and the effects you desire to generate?
Yes.
Go ahead.
One of the latest passions that I have is basically in the generation of electricity directly from magnetic fields.
Yes.
Which is something that's been considered for 10, 15 years now.
All right.
But we don't seem to be quite at that point we'd like to be at. Am I doing everything that can be done? Are my associations appropriate enough to sort of complete this?
They are, and you will change those associations. But the idea is that you also need to redefine what you think of when you talk about the idea of electromagnetic fields and light and energy generation. You need to redefine some of these terms, because many of the terms that exist in your society are, while valid, very linear, and what you're actually attempting to do is a very non-linear, holistic thing. So if you start to look at the concept of What is a magnetic field anyway? What is light anyway? What is electricity generation anyway? And start looking at them in more holistic ways and hearken back to some of the ideas we talked about when we talked about the prime radiant. Then you will begin to see things in a different light, because if you understand the prime radiant and that this is a single massless particle moving around in a geometric path in relation to itself, then you will understand that there really isn't any such thing as your society defines it as a force. When you have the idea of what appears to be a force interacting between particles, one to the other, such as gravity, or strong nuclear, or weak nuclear, or electromagnetic, you have to understand it's not really a force. It's a geometric relationship. And when you understand the geometric relationship as a single event, and understand that what appears to be the two different things that are relating are actually the relationship giving rise and birth to what appears to be two different things, then you will begin to understand it holistically and will revamp your definitions enough to understand what you need to do and what kind of devices really need to be created and how to treat the concept of resonance and how resonance is what will lead you to the effects that you seek. As an example, our spacecraft, many of you have understood that they seem to just be here and then be there. We are not violating the law of the speed of light. In your universal reality, in one physical dimension, yes, what you call the frequency or speed of light is a type of borderline, but the idea is that we are not going faster than the speed of light in order to be instantaneously from one spot to the next. What we are doing is something more akin to this. We have understood that what you call location is not a place that an object exists in. Location is one of the properties of the object. If you have an object, and it is, in your terms, occupying location A, let's follow along this illustration right now, all right?
Mm-hmm.
You have an object. Do you have an object, a coin, a pen, anything you can hold in your hand?
Yes.
Do so. Are you doing so?
Yes.
What object are you using?
A pen.
A pen. All right. Hold the object in one location. Let's call that location A. All right?
All right.
Now, move it to another location. Let's call that location B for purposes of the illustration. Have you got it?
Yes.
A, B. All right?
A, B.
A, B. All right. Now, pen in location A. Pen in location B. Not the same pen. Not the same pen. Because location is a property of the object. Therefore, this is pen A. This is pen B. Two different pens completely, totally, absolutely. You are not moving this pen here. You are dissolving the existence of pen A and creating the existence of pen B, but forming a continuity bridge between them so that you experience it as the same pen. Our spacecraft redefined the variable in our energy equation. The energy equation of the craft has the energy variable location A. If we suddenly unlock the craft from location A, put it in a type of suspended animation connected to all possible locations, a universal here and now domain, and then impose upon the craft the vibration of location B, it must simply by definition cease to exist at location A and take up residence at location B instantaneously without actually having traveled the distance in between. Think about this and see if this idea doesn't help you understand electromagnetic fields and forces of electricity as relationships that depend upon resonance identification more than thinking of them as forces. All right?
Yes.
Have fun.
Thank you. I have one more question
for
me. This is a health-related question.
Yes.
For many years, I've had a condition called mitral valve prolapse.
Yes.
I don't fully understand or appreciate why that is, what it means, and what I've done to contribute. I do accept responsibility for creating my own reality, et cetera, et cetera. Can you sort of give me a little bit of insight on that?
One moment. Are you familiar on your planet with a relatively recent book called The Heart's Code?
No, but I'll look it up.
Do so. That will help you to some degree. And then you can go from there. All right?
Do you know what who's the author?
Pearsall.
Pearsall.
The Heart's Code. Okay. C-O-D-E, code.
Now,
that will help you begin to understand the electromagnetic pulses that are connected to the intelligence of the heart and help you learn to communicate with your heart, balancing the intelligence of the heart with the intelligence of the brain and the body and bringing it all into balance.
Thank you.
Thank you.
In closing,
yes.
I'd like to refer to something that you said on one of your tapes several years back regarding the use of hydrogen peroxide, pure
yes.
hydrogen peroxide.
Yes.
Can you just sort of very quickly run through that again?
The idea is that in specific cases, and it must be on a case-by-case basis, the utilization of what you call food-grade hydrogen peroxide will help increase the oxygen levels of the body to allow there to be the kind of catalytic chemical changes that need to occur within the cells of the body to allow there to be the flushing of toxins and the increase of oxygenation of the cellular structure in certain cases on a case-by-case basis. All right?
Thank you.
Thank you. At this time, we would like to continue with the idea of another sharing with you. Let us remind each and every one of you that as you create your personality structures, that they are temporary masks. Your personalities, in one sense, because you create them, are who you are, but they are not the totality of who you are. They are created through belief, emotion, and behavior, the blueprint, the builder, and the building material of your reality. And the idea is that as you make your choices, which of course create your reality, result in consequences and effects, you must remember, very importantly, that all of your choices, every single one, without exception, are based on your motivations for making those choices. Motivation only has two components, just two. You will always, 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 without exception, you will always make the choices that you make based on what you perceive to be more pleasurable or more painful. You will always move in the direction of what you perceive to be more pleasurable. You will always move away from the direction of what you perceive to be more painful. That's motivation. But notice that we said what you perceive to be pleasurable and painful. And that's where the third component comes in. Definition. Belief. You will therefore always make the choices that you make and reap the consequences and the effects that you reap based on your motivation of what you perceive by definition to be, what you have been taught by definition to believe is either more pleasurable or more painful, whether it actually is or not. When you get in touch
with what your definitions about any given circumstance are, you will then begin to understand what definition you are attaching to the circumstance, and then understand what motivates you to attach any specific meaning, positive or negative, to the circumstance. You will understand why you are motivated then to make the choices that you do, and understand why you get the consequences in your life that you do. Choice based on motivation, based on definition. It is the very same thing, as behavior based on the idea of emotion, based on the idea of belief. Emotion is a secondary response. What you feel is a secondary response to something you already believe to be true. If you don't have a belief about something one way or another, you find you really don't have a feeling about it one way or another. It's all neutral. The key is to allow any circumstance in your life that comes up to be neutral, instead of automatically and unconsciously assigning an arbitrary positive or negative meaning to it, and then decide what kind of meaning you wish to assign to it. Because the meaning you assign will determine the effect you extract from it. Everything is neutral. Built-in meaning does not exist. Everything is neutral. You supply the meaning, but you've been taught to do so automatically, so unconsciously, that you think circumstances automatically have this or that meaning to them. Well, if I see this, it means that. So if it means that, I've got to react this way. No, you don't. You choose how to react or respond based on the meaning you assign, based on the strongest definition you hold to be true. There is no physical reality except your definition of it. But that's what physical reality is. There is no physical reality outside you. There is nothing outside you. No thing outside you. Physical reality is you experiencing yourself from many different perspectives, in many different symbolic ways, from many different reflective surfaces of the mirror of physical reality. And there is only one now moment in creation. There is only now. Creation exists entirely now. All of it. What you perceive as one moment after another in linear fashion, yes, it's valid for experiencing yourself as a linear physical being, but it's an illusion. What you experience as one moment after another, it's all the same one moment from different points of view. And the only way in physical reality you can experience the same moment from different points of view and all the ways that it exists is linearly one moment after another. But it's all the same moment. It's all the same here. It's all the same now. Nothing is really separate. But you create separateness for the convenience of allowing yourself a deep appreciation of the mechanism of creation so that you can experience the actuality of creation as it exists in its manifestational form. That's why you exist as a physical being. Because there is an advantage to not necessarily experiencing everything all at once. You get to appreciate the mechanism of creation itself. You get to act as a co-creator. And that's a lot of fun. And it's a very important gift that all of you have been given. Treat it as such, and it will serve you in joyful, positive, beautiful, creative, imaginative, playful ways. Physical reality is not something that you need to run away from. The greatest act of spirituality you can do is to live your physical life to the fullest. Spirituality is not detaching from physical reality. It's incorporating physical reality into everything that you are. Growth is the product of integration, not segregation. Not separation.
Do not run from your world. Do not go toward heaven. Bring heaven down to earth by being the angels you are. Live as such. Live that way. Behave as you know you want to be, as you know you actually are. And you will see, which brings us back to the very beginning statement, by being yourself, by accepting yourself, by surrendering to the way you were actually created, you will see, guaranteed, that you already contain everything you need, and then you will allow reality to reflect everything to you that you contain. Prayer is simply the act of being in a state of gratitude for everything you already are. And that's what allows you to experience it into manifestation. It doesn't come into manifestation because you are being given something you don't have. Prayer is not for the purpose of asking for something you don't have. Prayer is for the purpose of getting into the state of mind, gratitude, that allows you to be in the moment and understand that you already have everything, and all you have to do is see it, feel it, be it, and you will experience it in your life because you already have it. You already contain it. You've already been given everything you need. Nothing is held from you. Nothing, 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 nothing. In the moment you were created, in the instant of creation, just to speak linearly about it, you were given everything possible. Therefore, all you have to do is know that you are everything possible, and you will experience everything you need to possibly experience yourself to be. It's that simple. Please let it be. But again, if you enjoy the struggle, by all means, do that. Because that's valid too. Because everything is valid. And the more you grow and the more you expand, the more you will become aware of the possibility of the negative choices. But just because you become aware of the possibility of negative choices doesn't mean you have to choose them. But don't be afraid of them. Don't be afraid of the dark either. Because you cannot really shine in the light until you are willing to accept the darkness within you as a possibility of choice, but know that it's not what you will choose. It's that simple. We, at this time, will once again extend our deepest appreciation to each and every one of you and all of you together for allowing this transmission and this link and this bridge to have been formed through this gateway and window at this time. Our unconditional love to each and every one of you, our deep excitement, and our reminder that you're never alone. You all have guides. You all have friends. Ask for help. It is always given to you. And behave as if you know you've already got it. And then you will see the difference. It will make all the difference in your world. Good day. How did it go? It just takes me a second to reorient and remember where I am. Thank you all very much for being here tonight. Did you have a good time?
Yes.
Okay, thank you again, and please have a good night. And